Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Don't know how I'm going to top that one. Let us pray as we read God's word. Lord God, in this Advent season, as a reminder of the coming of Jesus Christ, be with us as we read the scriptures about his birth, the prophecies about him, and the fulfillment of your good news and kingdom for this world. For we wait expectantly not just for Christmas, but for his return. But we see his presence continually with us through the scriptures that we read and the words that we meditate upon in our hearts. Be with us even today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah the father of Shalathiel, and Shalathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathon, and Mathon the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David in the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. A couple of years ago, Lisa Klingenfuss gave me a copy of my family genealogy that goes back hundreds of years. It's from one of those online databases. If you have a grandfather listed, you can pretty much plug that in and go back generations, pretty far. Most people of European origin can have some connection to King Charlemagne, for instance. But the family tree, my family tree, goes back by way of a son in marriage to Sweden. Before that, they were in Mesopotamia. Before that, my brother and I got online, and I'm not sure if I believe this one or not, but it goes back to a general in Alexander the Great's army who became the person that took over Mesopotamia. So that's where the prince that went from Mesopotamia to Sweden, and then their family became Norman Vikings, and they took over England, and there's a village in Northumberland named for them, Whitfields. And I've confirmed that with a friend of mine who was from Northumberland several years ago that I knew in southwest Georgia. Eventually, this family moved to the New World. I found that on that list, there are pastors in the family tree. More recently, my great-grandfather was the state medical examiner. He signed Robert Johnson's death certificate. This is the blues player Robert Johnson. So if ever there's a documentary about Robert Johnson and who he really was, my grandfather's signature is right there on the death certificate. Great-grandfather. But his brother was governor of Mississippi, and he was the only politician to ever defeat Theodore Bilbo, who was basically a dictator in Mississippi. But this is all speculative, right? And you wonder, what does it really mean, and what does it matter, all this knowledge? I don't know exactly. If you go far enough back in your genealogy, virtually anybody's genealogy, you're going to find that there's a chance that you're related to a king or a queen or a prince. But that's not the point. Genealogies are great in the Bible. And if you're looking for genealogies and lists, the Bible has lots of them. And most of them are as exciting to read as this one. But this one has a point. And this one has some interesting things. You shouldn't just read the names here and think there's not something being said, because there is. Jesus' genealogy is no different in its scope of years. It goes back to the time of Abraham. And just because he's born into a humble family from Judah in Nazareth, the future king must fit into a genealogy in a certain way. Jesus fits into the history of ancient Israel. It's the story that the Bible has been telling all of us to this point. It's the future hoped for in the prophets. It's the everlasting promises of God to David. And ultimately, it's the promise of grace of the grace of God from one family of faith to be a blessing to all the families of humanity. That's the story of the Old Testament. And so Matthew finds a kind of symmetry in what we might think of as the tedium of this text. Make no mistake, this text, as my professor Jack Dean Kingsbury would remind us, this text is about Jesus. It's not about the other names in the list that this story is telling. Matthew gives away the ending of his book about Jesus at the very beginning. Jesus is the relative of Abraham, not shocking. And of David, more shocking, and not of Joseph. Wait, what? That's shocking. How does that happen? Well, let's start at the beginning. Luke's genealogy, if you turn to the book of Luke, Luke's genealogy looks backward from Jesus to Abraham to show us that Jesus is related to the first human being, and therefore Jesus is related to all of us. Jesus is fully human in Luke. And rightly so. That's what he was. But notice that Matthew starts in a different place and works in a different direction. Matthew starts with Abraham. He doesn't go back to the beginning of time, but to one particular family, one particular person. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' connection to Abraham and Jesus' Jewishness. We worship a Jew, not just any human. Jesus comes from the line of Abraham. The most important inheritance from Abraham is faith. And an understanding that grace comes from God in faith is our inheritance. And good works follow from that faith. We inherit the faith in God of Abraham even today from Jesus. Jesus gave that to us and brought that to us. To emphasize Jesus' Jewishness, the genealogy says Judah and his brothers. There are a couple of times where "and his brothers" are used, with Judah and with Josiah. This is to connect us to all of those who were Jewish, all of those who were sons of Jacob, sons of faith. They will become a people. And not just any line of people. Jesus comes from the line of King David. The time when Israel was greatest and had its greatest opportunity to follow God forever, and to shine the light to all peoples of the world of God's goodness and love and hope. David's anointed reign would last forever. That's what God promised. There would always be someone on David's throne. This spiritual leader would come from the stock of the man who wrote the Psalms and built Jerusalem. The man who had a heart after God's own heart. So first we have faith, and now we have heart. Because Jesus had a heart after God's own heart too. He had compassion on the people. He went further than David. David had disallowed the blind and the lame from worshiping in Jerusalem. Now Jesus healed them so they could come in. Jesus showed to break down the walls that locked out the disabled, the poor, the sick, and the blind. Jesus had compassion and heart. A heart after God's own heart. Now those are the big names. Abraham, David, Solomon. But this is the stuff you might miss. Because look at this list. It's mostly guys. It's mostly men. This might be a natural way to do a genealogy. But it's not all men. Look at the five women who are included in the genealogy. Particularly the first three. The people in this story are not perfect. Abraham's not perfect. David's not perfect. And when we get to the women, they're not perfect either. Tamar is a prostitute. If you read her story in Genesis, it's a scandal. So was Rahab, but she was a foreigner from Jericho. And even a foreigner from Jericho who saved the Israelites is folded into Jesus' story. As was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite, another foreigner. And Ruth took care of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and was married and redeemed by Boaz. These were strong women who had deep faith in the Lord despite their terrible circumstances. Matthew understands the deep power of these women in Jesus' story. This is not just a story for men. With no faithful Ruth, there's no David and no Jesus. And then there's the wife of Uriah. That's a memory of the sin of David. And the fact of God's very blessing and forgiveness and mercy. Her name is Bathsheba. Now does she seem more familiar to you? Even saying her name is still tough to say and admit that it's in the Bible. But Matthew reminds us that God especially cares for the women on this list. And they're named here. That this is not a perfect list of people. And that it's not men only. Also, there are a few names whose stories you should check out. Hezekiah was a king who trusted in the Lord rather than try to defeat the Syrian army with his army. He prayed to God in the temple, and God defeated the Assyrians with a plague. Or Josiah, who was the king who found Deuteronomy in the temple just before the exile, so that the people would have a way to understand how they should be led by the word of God. All of these names are there in Jesus' story. And with Jesus, we hit our last name on the list. His father, Joseph, is his father, but by a certain way. God is Jesus' father. Let's be clear about that. But Joseph, as we'll see in this coming story, adopts and names Jesus. Joseph is the one who shows great faith for Jesus. And our fifth woman is also in this line. Mary is Jesus' mother. She and Joseph are going to be married. There's not really a scandal here. Only the story of a human adoption. The story of Joseph and Mary is the courage to stay the course and to believe in the promises of God, the courage to have faith. Adoption is also the story of young people in our area today. We heard several weeks ago from Patrick Henry Family Services. Recently, we heard that there are over 100 people in the foster system now, children in the foster system now. 100 Jesuses running around in need of foster care and adoption. People in our area talk a good pro-life game, or they may talk a good game as regards liberal social services. But in fostering and adoption, the church can actually do something. Our church has a real opportunity to help these Jesus' chosen ones. Jesus empathizes with their stories because he knew that some of that strain, the looks in his village, the lack of acceptance, and the possible judgment of his origin. To be the Son of God did not mean that Jesus had an easy childhood. Children have no choice in their birth, but we have a choice in how they might be treated. We can choose to treat them as we would treat Jesus. This story from Matthew 1 is his story, but it's our story. His title is given the Messiah. Jesus is the Anointed One. He has God's blessing upon him. But the Messiah is given such added meaning, and it is really that Jesus is hoped for, he's at the right time, and he's a blessing for all of us. Today we begin our stewardship season, and this is a time to talk about the stewardship of time. If you look at the three sections of this genealogy, there are 14 generations, and each of those 14 generations is somewhere around 490 years, almost 500 years. In other words, there are 72 generations, somewhere around 1,500 years. Each of those generations gets a mention, a paragraph, but no more than that. You can sum up 1,500 years in three paragraphs. And so, the stewardship of our time is as important as the stewardship of anything that we have. Time is a gift of God, and time is something that God has left each of us to affect generations and generations after us. The courage of Ruth starving in the wilderness, making her way back to Israel with her mother-in-law. All of these stories show people making the most of what they have in the moment that they have them. When a historian writes about us, what could they say? Would we get more than a sentence? Could they sum up our generation that's alive now by saying they looked at their phones a lot? They binge-watched TV a lot. What could they say that was meaningful that we did? How much of the story would be told about us? And how much of our time is wasted? How much of it is used for the Lord, and how much of it is used for ourselves? We have an opportunity to serve the Lord every day and to be good stewards of our time. What we do with our stewardship of time is up to us. There once was a doctor who came in to see a patient, and he said, "I've got bad news and I've got worse news." And the patient said, "Well, give me the bad news first." And the doctor said, "Well, you've got 24 hours to live." And he said, "Wow, that's pretty bad. I can't understand what would be worse than that news." And the doctor said, "Well, I've known this since yesterday." If our time is running out, if time is the one thing that you can't get back in life, make the most of the time that you have. There's been 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus Christ. Our generation will get so many years of that time. May we use our time wisely. May we be good stewards of the time we've been given. May we live in a way that writes the sentence of our lives that show that we serve the Lord in hope, in faith, and with heart. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for the time that you've given us and for the inheritance of Jesus' family, for the inheritance of faith from Abraham, of heart from David, and the grace and love of Jesus Christ. who brings us all in as a family to spread care and joy and love and hope to this world so that the next generation will know Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.